Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, as we get started. Chapter 9, beginning at verse 23. And it's Jesus talking to his disciples and others who are listening. And he says this, and he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Or another translation, their very soul. Last week, we looked at those moments we have been given in life, which we realize we'll never have again. Moments where we created memories of regrets or memories of fulfillment and positive impact. Moments where perhaps we stopped and listened to that small voice of God whispering and reminding us, "How many more of these moments will you have?" And whether we listen to that reminder or not determines and shapes the legacy that we leave, a legacy of stuff and things, of achievement, success, and worldly acclaim, or a legacy where others' lives were made better because we took time with them, touched them, and made a difference, where we sought to have an impact on all those lives which God entrusted to us, a legacy and a life where those around us who needed us will remember whether or not we lifted them up or left them alone. 14 years ago, when our elder granddaughter Hannah was 5 and in kindergarten in Tampa, I was sitting in a fundraising breakfast in Gainesville for a ministry offering second chances, education, and direction for men and women who had recently been released from prison, men and women who needed an opportunity to build a new life and begin to leave a legacy different than the one which had landed them in prison. About halfway through the meeting, I got a call from my bride, Linda, interrupting my focus. She was in Tampa with our kids. Of course, since she knew where I was, I knew it had to be important or she wouldn't have called just then. As I walked out of the meeting with the phone to my ear, I listened as she began to explain that Hannah had been in a car accident in Tampa. Apparently, the father of a classmate driving them to school had turned in front of a cement truck, which ran into and crushed the side of the car right where Hannah was sitting. I was in my car in minutes and on my way and met Nathan waiting for me outside the hospital in Tampa to take me to where Hannah was. After a full exam, x-rays, treatment of cuts, scrapes, and bruises, and a few days of rest, Hannah was okay. Thank God. Last fall into the spring, Linda and I had a sobering period of 6 months where she went through the test after test, MRI, CAT scan, bone density, and more to determine whether or not recent routine blood tests showing the possibility of multiple myeloma or bone cancer were true or not. After all the tests were completed during that period, the doctor determined that they were not true. False positives, for now, he called them. She did not seem to have multiple myeloma. However, he prescribed more frequent blood tests for the next 2 years to assure him and us of that she didn't have it, and he included a regimen of exercises for her to increase her bone strength and density. And of course, through that journey with her, my priorities got checked for me rather suddenly, curtailing my travel and spending less time away with the performance and life coaching which I was doing, to be able to be with Linda, dealing with, supporting, and helping to assess her medical concerns that we faced. How many more of these moments with her will you have, Scott? The words were a gentle but regular visitor to my thoughts. And looking back, our being together a good bit more was an added blessing out of what seemed at first a moment of concern. Looking back, we see now additional moments of fellowship, growing closer, sharing, all part of adding to each other's life and lifting each other up. In 1888, Alfred Nobel had the rare privilege to read his own obituary. A French newspaper accidentally printed his obituary upon the death of his brother, who was visiting in Cannes, France. The obituary dubbed Alfred Nobel as the, quote, merchant of death, close quote, saying that he made possible the killing of more people more quickly than anyone in history. Well, reading that, as you can imagine, sent shockwaves through his very being and soul. It became for him the defining moment that caused him to look back on his life and then to redefine his life and the legacy that he wanted to leave. Alfred Nobel was a Swedish inventor and had received over 355 patents during his lifetime, but his most notorious patent was nitroglycerin mixed with absorbent sand shaped into sticks called dynamite. It made possible, of course, good things like the digging of tunnels and building of dams and the construction of buildings. It saved money and time and lives, but like anything, it had the power to be misused and abused, and in the wrong hands, it became a weapon of mass destruction. And so, after reading his premature obituary that way, depicting a legacy of destruction, Alfred Nobel devoted the rest of his life, and even after his death, to righting that wrong direction of his life. To begin with, on November 27th in 1895, he rewrote his last will and testament to put all of his fortune, at the time, $9 million, to establish the most coveted award in all the world, the Nobel Prize. And over 120 years later, his name is still linked with the world's greatest achievements in science and literature, medicine, and peace. The cumulative good from all of that is, of course, impossible to determine, but most would agree it is immense. And that has been Alfred Nobel's legacy through the years, and it will continue into the future. A legacy of good, of helping and lifting the world to a better place, not that of, quote, the merchant of death, close quote. Reading that obituary, in essence, taking a look at his life after death, as the world apparently saw his life, was like looking into a rearview mirror of his life up to that point in time. It gave Nobel a glimpse of who he was, of the legacy he had lived and left up until then, and it gave him an opportunity to look forward and to change what his legacy would be. Looking back at our lives tends to happen as we near the end of our days. We tend to look back and try to assess what we have done, what our legacy is, and perhaps even wish there was something we could do to change it. It also happens when we hear words like cancer, or you get a phone call that your granddaughter was in a car accident. Our priorities change quickly. The important things in our lives come front and center, and we are moved to look through the rearview mirror of our lives that we lived up until then, at what we have done, what we should have done, and what we wish we could change. We look forward through the rearview mirror of our lives. And in those moments, our view becomes much clearer as to what is important, what we need to change, what we need to do in the future, and what we really want our legacy to be. And as Jesus reminds us in the passage we read earlier, we begin to see that our pursuit of the world's ideals, the world's idols and ideas, is not worth forfeiting our lives and the lives of those entrusted to us. But here's the truth, my friends. Not just at the end of our lives or when moments of life-changing concern hit us as they did me, but every day of our lives should be lived so that we leave the legacy that day we were created to leave. Because every day, we are building, creating, and leaving the legacy which others will remember about us. A legacy of changed lives or ignored lives. A legacy for good or not. How will we be remembered? What will others say about us? Have we added value to the lives around us, or have we taken value from them for ourselves? Every day should be lived like it was the first and the last day of our life. After all, it is. It is a day which has never been before and one which will never be again. And not to sound too overly dramatic about that, but the truth is that this may be the very last day we will ever have here on earth. What will your legacy be? What is God suggesting to you that it should be? We always have the choice to make it what it should be. When you and I look back over our lives, if we could stand there on our last day on earth, what would you want to see that your life has stood for and has left behind? Let me suggest that every now and then, or more often, we pause to look forward through the rear view mirror of our lives and change where we need to change to leave the legacy for good that we should. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for my friends, for the legacy they've left up until this point, for the impact they've had in the world. But Lord, as we look back through that rearview mirror at where we have been at our lives up to this point, we know there are places we need to change. Help us to change those so that going forward, we leave the legacy that you created us to leave. We have the impact that you created us to have and want us to have, that we live the lives for good that add value to the lives around us, that make a difference in the world around us, and leave a legacy that only we can leave and that you created us to leave. Thank you, Lord, knowing that through all of that, you will go with us and lead us and guide us. Thanks for loving us. In your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.